Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
David, I'm a little annoyed. What is wrong with my people? This is a lockdown because they don't want anyone to go around and spreading around the virus. And I can't see if it was a storm or hurricane or something like that, they will have to wait for months to get what they're needing. It's like food, water, electricity, most things. This is only 14 days, and I can't see why they are getting. I want the supermarkets to reopen and displacing different charrier stores. This is only just a 14 days thing, so they could bear with it.
I think that what is pretty disturbing about most of what you hear is that there isn't that much of a focus on that the fact that we've had one death so far, that we've got over 50 cases of this particular virus, and that the indications are that we really need to be far more serious about it. I mean, we're talking about some of everything else under the sun. Now, to me, the danger inherent in this for especially certain types of people, and remember, there are so many Barbadians who are carrying the chronic diseases.
That's right.
That could make them very vulnerable to death in this disease. There are people who consider themselves to be younger, who are seen as not being in the target group. But then ask them when is the last time they went to the doctor for a checkup, and they will tell you that they can't remember. They don't usually go to the doctor. So they may be carrying underlying causes that or symptoms of the other chronic diseases that they don't know about.
But if I was hungry, right, I would roast a berry fruit and drink little water, and I am sure that I won't die within the 14 days. But if I go out and mingle among others and you don't know who have it, that is when I will be putting my life at risk, and then that will cause death. So I don't think that they should be crying out for supermarkets to reopen. I hope that those in authority would not open no supermarket. What little I have, I'm going to be contented with and use it and stretch it. Because there's only 2 months away now from the hurricane season. And I'm sure that if Barbados had to get a serious hurricane like how Dominica and other places had it, they would have to miracle or even go and roast berry fruit if the thing, because they don't have no electricity, they don't have water, they don't have nothing to, no gas to use. And they would have to make wood fire if they could get wood. And that is what they should try and think about. And stop talking about this place open and this place shut down and all of that. It really had me annoyed. David, have a nice day and continue to do the good work that your station is doing.
All right,
thank you
very much. This other person says here that, who do you call and what do you do when people in your neighborhood are still liming under a hut? And you call the police since Saturday, and up until today, the police ain't turn up yet. The writer says there are about 15 people under the hut smoking and gambling all day. Please help. I will call and give you the location off the air. Well, look, you know how much of what we are experiencing in this country has got to do with enforcement, the failure to enforce. As if, you know, it seems as though so many of us have thrown our hands up in the air. This is a test. What happens over these next few days will say a lot about where Barbados really is. And trust me, if we can't bring control to Barbados in these circumstances, we are going to send the worst signal to those who are deviant and wrong-headed in Barbados. Those who have the job to enforce must bear in mind that this period could make their task even more difficult if they do not exercise that control now. Everybody is looking to see how this is handled. I wait to see what is going to happen for the rest of this week, because the complaints that are coming to us here says that the authorities need to listen to what Barbadians are saying. There are too many people in this country who are compliant and cannot understand why it is that the non-compliant can be allowed to get away with this. And if the police in this country really need to revise their strategy on the streets of the country, then they need to do so. But this is unacceptable. It really is. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First time on the program. Yeah, I'm calling to, on behalf of a friend. He would like to know if there's any place that, if there's anywhere, sorry, that he can get access to money, because he have money on the credit union, but he never was given an ATM card. So right now he's
so what do you expect?
A bit
What did you tell him? Well, you got the answer to that. If he wants access to money, lend him some.
No, I can't send him anything, but I told him that the credit unit is closed. But he's still telling me to call and ask a question if there's any number that he can get to call to get some sort of funds, because his cash is running low.
Well, I can't give you an answer to that. Clearly, there is no way that he's going to be able to get cash unless somebody lends him the money.
Okay. That is true, because I told him that. But, I mean, he have a steady job, right? Yeah, he's currently employed. But it's just that I feel that he took too long to go and get some money. He just play around.
Well.
But he's still telling me to call and ask a question. So that's what I do.
He doesn't have a phone. He can't call himself.
Yeah, he have a phone, yeah. But it's just
so why do you think he put you to call instead?
Because I am that kind of, I'm that type of person.
You would shield him.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I'm not shaming, you know, asking a question nowhere.
Okay, because
I'm bold in that.
Yeah, but if you were in a similar position, you weren't going to call, you would put him to call.
No, I know. I would do it myself.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Ellis. You have a blessed day.
All right. Somebody says here, when the police and defense force start to get brutal, then you will hear people crying out. Again, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, but they just got to do their job. And, you know, this society is one in which you have to be you got to tiptoe through the tulips before you can actually take the next step, the firm step. That's part of the reason why we didn't lock down earlier, because it's always about trying not to offend here and there. And therefore, you got to create an environment in which the people call for more. And this is part of what seems to be happening right now. If this is a barometer, a lot of these people are actually writing on WhatsApp their concern. If there's a barometer of where we are and where we're going, and it's not surprising. I think many of us knew that we would have a certain element in this society that would test the country, test the authorities. But one would expect that the various agencies responsible for this would be prepared. You don't expect to be caught by surprise with something like this. We know Barbados well enough by now. So let's see what's going to happen. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Question. We all know, or a lot of people know, that the price of oil on the world market has reduced to, I think, below $20 a barrel. and we have a 12-cent increase on price of gasoline.
But isn't that based upon when we bought
the last bit of yeah, fair enough. But when do you think that would have been?
I don't know. I can't speculate on that.
No.
There are times when we have higher prices, and there are times when the prices come down.
Yeah,
so chances are we may see the effect of this reduction in weeks to come.
Understood, understood. Next question, just a quick one. Gas stations for top-ups, bakeries, fish vendors, corner shops are all permitted to be open and sell. Newspapers are getting printed. How do people access these things if they are not allowed out?
If they are not allowed out?
Correct. In other words, if you're to stay home and you're not to go out onto the road.
No. The government has been clear about this.
Yep.
Try to restrict your movement to what
right.
is essential.
Understood.
They don't say stay off the roads completely, but try to restrict your movements to the essential.
Right.
Because you have to keep in your focus the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to stop the spread.
And stay away.
So the person who is going to the village shop or seeking to go to the village shop every day is risking it. That person is putting themselves at greater risk because of the many transactions that they are involved in. And talking to people. And you don't have it, you know, they're saying right now that talking to people can cause you to get the virus. If you're too close, that's what it is. You know, so what we are trying to encourage, and this also obtains with the boys on the block who are out there sitting down, smoking and talking and drinking with each other, behaving as though nothing can touch them. And then they take it home to their parents and their sister and their girlfriend. And you understand? We just got to take responsibility, recognizing what the danger is. And if you doubt us, go and listen to what's happening in New York. Go and look and see what's happening in Spain and Italy. And New York is just next door. You know how many Barbadians have been caught up in this? A lot of Barbadians have fallen ill, and if six haven't died yet, I that's my count. It's about six that I have heard of that have died, and others are critically ill in hospital. This is serious stuff. And these
people
are behaving as though, my goodness, you know, this is a walk in the park. We are going to, if we don't take this thing far more seriously, what will happen is that you have too many people being looked after. They overwhelm your health facilities. And then other people cannot get the medical care that they deserve. At the end of the day, it's not just you, but it is your sister, your mother, your father, your brother, your aunt. All of these people are vulnerable. What more does Barbados need to convince us that this cannot be taken lightly? We'll see. Down to brass tacks.
Down to brass tacks. Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Last year in October, I talked to you about the credit union, came blowing people a pass. And you was telling me it was rock on fear. Now that the blind people who want the money can't get none. No blind people can't draw the money. Because they don't have a card.
Mm-hmm. How would you suggest that that particular problem be addressed?
Well, pick a day for the blind people. And let a cashier be there to give them the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason, because they claim that they can't punch in, because they don't know the numbers. So I said, what I did last year, I went to the credit union and I called my grandson. And they was giving all kind of talk around, and then they give me a ID card to give him. So he could draw my money, you know, because I was blaming 6 years. So he could draw my money, you know. I don't have to get a credit card. Mm-hmm. So he could have an ATM and get the money.
Right.
But everybody can't trust somebody. Right.
Well, in those circumstances, you got to find somebody that you can trust.
Yeah, sure.
You mean, you know, you just got to look for somebody that can help you and yeah, isn't going to steal your money from you.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, you go to the ID card and draw money, but somebody got to be with you. I don't know.
Yes. All right. So. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hey. I had no intention of calling today, but a couple of comments. Now, the first one, when the guy was saying about the university did something for the government, why have they not delivered the figures? In fact, they did yesterday. They had a lady from the university yesterday on Brass Tacks Sunday at the tail end of the program. And she gave some numbers. She gave about four scenarios or so, what she called estimates. But the most important thing in all of this, based even on what everybody's saying about complaints, she gave some figures, several just estimates. But basically, like, if the government did not put anything in place and things like that, or if the people are complaining, she said, yes, the government have put things in place. Then she said, though, if you have complaints, at least 75% complaints that they'll be able to stay on top of the situation. But as the complaints fall 50% or under, that's where you will get overwhelmed. That's
yes.
Where you will get a lot of deaths, and the health system will get overwhelmed. So for sure, yes, she gave a scenario, a couple of scenarios regarding that matter. No, I'm also that the caller asked about the dollar on the threat and all the other things. Now, apart from the usual reserves that we have, the Prime Minister spoke when she said, yes, the IADB is lending the government $160 million and the IMF is also lending $250 million for the same COVID-19 situation. But you know what? I keep saying it about the indiscipline in Barbados. Now, if you remember last year, when you had people at the bar office with rings around at the bar office, I said then, and I believe it, the people should have... No, you had a whole long period to go and pay your land tax and things like this. You right? You will get discount for paying early. You will get penalized for paying late. And they were there all the time. Then come to near the end. Then it was extended. I think that was a mistake. That was a good opportunity to show Barbados. You have to get more disciplined than this. And this was happening. We have a couple of Zara van owners. Now, who had their license suspended for some period? They said a day or two, the suspension was lifted. You see, so all of what's happening today, the people are taking the examples of what happened then. And look, we will just get a flick on our wrist or we get the team resolved. As I said, the key thing what the lady said yesterday, if there's not compliance, that's then we will have the real crisis in our hands. You know, Barbadians, don't matter what, apparently the government do, this criticized. You have several people in this country who are saying the government, before they were had the curfew, they should have. Now they say, no, I'm saying they say no. The way how they're going about their business, that will be extended if they don't really stop with the nonsense. So they better have, if they can't bear no, if it's 2 weeks, they're about to have curbed the behavior. You know? We can't go down the road like this, and I keep saying it. We can't go down the road with this bear and discipline like this. Well, and you know,
If we cannot enforce the rules, then the society will be in discipline.
Yes.
Barbados has a couple of areas, quite a number of hot spots. There are places where you would guarantee that people are going to be gathering. That's what they've done for years.
Right.
Therefore, you have to come up with a strategy that basically will have more of a presence in some areas. You don't need to do this across the board in the country. But you know that there are some places where that presence is required. If we are not to have a situation where these young men are going to gather, smoke their weed, and spread the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what we are fighting against, that they are going to spread the virus.
No.
And they don't care, because a lot of them, they don't care about their own health, far less anybody else's.
No. People talk about for years about a subculture, and I constantly said, there's not a subculture. It's a parallel culture we have in the country. So this is serious business. It's a subculture the more. We have two part cultures in Barbados, right? The traditional culture and a parallel one, subculture. So if the authorities don't realize this is what's happening in the country, you know, we are in big trouble.
This is the question that we face. If we have turned a blind eye to so much of it normally, how can we get compliance in an emergency? because the culture of lawlessness and being Onwe has become well entrenched in this society, not only among young people, a lot of mature people are like that as well.
I know that.
So how are you going to get compliance in a non-compliant environment?
But yes, but when you have a crisis or emergency, you have the act to do. The government has the act to do what it's supposed to do. You have to do it.
Yeah, you have to do it, but you also have to have people who have the intestinal fortitude to do it.
I agree.
And you have to ask the question, how much of Barbados has that intestinal fortitude?
Because you see, the said people, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so difficult. The said people are complaining, right? You know, whenever the police now and the soldiers do what they got to do, the said people.
But sometimes all they need to do is to have a presence. Sometimes it doesn't require, you know, much more than that. A presence. And the issue is, you know, when you combine the two, do you have enough manpower to do the job, especially as it relates to some of these trouble spots? They tell me that the police come into certain areas, and as soon as they leave, the people come back out. You know, that's what they're telling me in the messages that are coming here. So we really need to try to make sure that this thing is addressed, because look, there's so many other people in the country who are sufficiently afraid that they are trying their best to lock down and avoid all of this contact and that sort of thing. Yet these people here are threatening their lives. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am told that yet another Barbadian living in New York has died from COVID. A relative is saying here that she died last night at Kings County Hospital in New York. She was originally from 2nd Avenue, Chapman Lane, and migrated to the United States about 45 years ago. So, you know, when we look at a combination of the Barbadians, and then we pull all these West Indians together, it will be a significant number of people from the Caribbean touched in a very deep way by COVID-19. And that, for us, should be the first and most significant message, that in the same way that people are losing their lives there, we're running the risk of people losing their lives in this country as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks. They are also telling me, I got a call to suggest that there is some Barbadian who is stranded in Guyana. He left a number for us to call, but that number is not assigned when we try to make contact with him. But he says he's been stranded in Guyana for several days, and he wants to know what arrangements are going to be made for people like him. I don't know how many other Barbadians are stranded in Guyana at the moment. We were trying to make contact with him to get more details, but that has not been possible. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
I want to agree with everything you said earlier, just before the news.
Yeah.
I was here waiting for the longest while. But yeah. I didn't have a problem waiting. You know what needs to be done, David Ellis? Let's do a comparison compared to Spain, Italy, Europe, United States, and put that comparison here in Barbados. You can imagine, Mr. Ellis, if 932 people that day in Italy one day had to die here in Barbados, you know we wouldn't be complaining about frivolous little foolishness, exemption on this, exemption on that.
We would say that the deaths were caused by the government. That's how. That's where we would go with this, all right? We wouldn't say it was the coronavirus. We wouldn't say it was the attitude of the people. Nothing so. It would be the government must take the blame for it.
Yeah, but then what about these stupid people? And they call them stupid and they have no apologies to make. What about these stupid people that David Ellis that they're doing here keep off the road? And these people, when you watch these CC cameras on your television, Mr. Ellis, you see the most of traffic. Not only car traffic, foot traffic. Just walking, bicycles, motorcycles, just riding up and down
because
the road.
Because it doesn't call to them. You know, the other thing I am curious about, at a time like this, we should be using drones to help, see what's going on our streets. Where are these things?
Exactly. And not only that, Mr. Ellis, where is the punishment? Where is the punishment that we talk about? When you get caught on the road and what is going on? You know, Miss Ellis, I heard my mother from the time I was a child. She said when you start running, got it ain't wrong. You know, Mr. Ellis, they will catch you can't wear a pack of biscuits and a sardine because you hungry. And you go and you get 6 months. But another colleague of yours, Mr. Ellis, will do murder. He will get bail. Or another colleague will bring tons of drugs and he will get bail. But you that carry a pack of sardine and a pack of biscuit will get 6 months. When the government system here in Barbados start running, because it ain't wrong. And now is this time that we should show Bajans who is really in charge. Because as you said just now, when the police is called, I scatter. When the police gone, I come back out. But the drones will help us to see and put people in check. You understand?
And there are private people. There are people that the police could co-opt to assist them with the drones as well.
Exactly.
They don't have to be running them themselves.
Exactly. Not only that, Mr. Ellis, I shouldn't have today, whatever today is, day, if you forget what today's day is. I shouldn't be warned, David Ellis, by a police or a soldier to stay inside. From time they see me, David Ellis pick me up. Because I don't understand what these people don't feel to understand. You can imagine, David Ellis, how many people out there dying with this coronavirus. And imagine, as you say, Mr. Ellis, yes, they will say it's because of the Barbados government. But you know, David Ellis, if you're here, instead of 101, 202, 303, you understand? You know what some of these people do? Some of these ingrate people that we got for Bajans and families and friends will stay inside because they're only putting people like me and you and everybody else in danger. And that's what I called the comment about, because the government has to get real and get heavy-handed. No, if it is only 2 weeks, and let's say by the 10th or later on the week, the attorney general or somebody from government come and say it has to be extended to the 30th. You can imagine, Mr. Ellis, if this is going on now, you can imagine Mr. Ellis from the 16, 17, 18 from there. You can imagine people be having street fights and all that,
hmm.
But we need to do something. We need to come heavy-handed, Mr. Ellis. I shouldn't be warned. You shouldn't be warned. If you got a pass, go right ahead. If I got none, carry me up. And that's what needs to happen. And government needs to enforce that. Because we getting a slap on we wrist all the time. And all we telling myself, man, don't bother with them, man. They're gone. We go back with them and chill. You understand? But what would we mothers do? If I got a mother that's 80 and they're protecting, I got a mother that is 80 and I have to protect her. So I tell anybody, nobody is coming to my home. Because nobody ain't bring nothing, Mr. Ellis, and give my mother or me. You understand that, Mr. Ellis? And that's what we need to do. Come down heavy hand.
Okay. I would say to you, honestly, that one has to be very careful about trying to deal with these matters only in one way. We are a country that has been brought up on a diet of corporal punishment. You know, everything must be resolved by punishment. While I'm calling for action, I am not of the view that the only action is to be punitive. It is trying to get that message across, trying to convince, just hold on, convincing more of those people. What will it take? Does it take the old-fashioned approach of what driving through a neighborhood with loudspeakers or what have you? I don't know. But we've got to find different approaches, a mix of approaches, of trying to get this message across to these people who are out on the streets. This is dangerous. I mean, you can travel the streets. You will see a couple of signs about washing your hands and that sort of thing. But maybe we need to do a little bit more if we are to curb this. All right. This person says that they are presently in the bus terminal only because they had to accompany a lady who had an eye problem so that she could honor her appointment. They say to me, Mr. Ellis, you should see the amount of people standing or sitting waiting for a bus, all clustered. I have distanced myself from them. You understand that in the midst of all of this, the message has not penetrated. So it therefore means that on the street, we need more messaging on the street. People are not necessarily listening to Voice of Barbados, or they're not checking their cell phones or what have you. Again, I mean, a lot of work has been done through the social media to try to get people to understand. Can more be done there? But on the streets, we need to get some approach that gets more of that message out there to people to get off the streets and to be aware of the danger. I don't believe that the solution to this is being heavy-handed and draconian, you know, but your presence is needed. This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling in connection with those people who are required to provide essential services at this time. I heard yesterday on the program that it was mentioned that because we are not testing people who are asymptomatic, and that we don't have resources to go down that road as it relates to these critical persons.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that we ought to do something to help them because they are making a sacrifice. If a worker decided that my job requires for me to be close to customers, whatever the service might be, then immediately that is it, an exposure. And if I decided it was not going to work, is there repercussions that I'm going to face? I saw two instances recently. One was an officer trying to control what looked like a small mob. And if anyone in that mob had COVID-19, then the officer and many other people would be in trouble. I saw another instance where two officers stopped the vehicle to inquire as they should, and they maintain reasonable distance. But I'm saying that we need to consider them. If we can't test regularly this group, let's provide them with some protective gear. Let's do something to help them as opposed to waiting.
The protective gear is also in short supply, yeah?
Well, we need to do something. They are the most high-risk group right now, and it seems like we are doing nothing directly to help them, and we need to do so. Otherwise, when something happens, we will then be trying to catch up again. We need to do something to help them.
Well, you know, part of the price that you will pay, if they feel vulnerable, they will do what vulnerable people do. That is that they won't be around.
Correct. And we don't want that.
And you don't want that. You want to make them feel as safe as possible. The Prime Minister, two nights ago, I think it was, she issued a statement, which she was, it was last night or the night before last?
I think last night. I saw her.
When she said that she was sending a lot of praise to the health workers and promising them that after this, there would be more attention paid to them in some form or fashion. But it is here and now that we need to get more of that morale boosting. And the greatest way to boost their morale is to give them as much protection as possible, because health workers around the world are really coming down. Some people tell you that they're falling like flies. I spoke to a Barbadian who has been nursing in the United States for a number of years. We spoke about two nights ago, and she said, you know, back in February, they had a small number of cases in New York, and she was privy to some discussions that were taking place. And not enough was done in the early stages. And she said to me, you know, all I know, I have colleagues who are just falling down with this disease. And Barbados, the point she wanted to make at the time was that Barbados needed to be closed down. Barbados needed to be shut down if we were to avoid a situation similar to what she is seeing in New York. People who are living there, when you talk to them, they say, it is frightening. It is frightening.
Yeah. And we need everybody really to be consistent in the approach to this. I heard something. I don't know if it is accurate or not, so I will avoid mentioning any specific institutions or groups. But this particular group had an encounter with an individual that required not adhering to social distancing. And that person subsequently has symptoms. So all the persons involved were supposedly taken off to an institution where, and the person said they were kept there the entire day for a full 24 hours. And they were very concerned until eventually they were allowed out. Now, that is not quarantine. Keeping a person for one day is in no way equivalent to keeping that person for 14 days. If you are a suspected case, because you are an essential worker, does not allow you to spend only 1 or 2 days. It's 14 days. If our prime minister got exposed in some way, she would have to be quarantined for 14 days. It doesn't matter who you are or how essential your service is. Everybody needs to adhere to the 14 days if you are suspected to have been exposed or known to have been exposed. Now, hopefully the authorities can verify whether that happened or not. As I said, I can't say this is 100% accurate, but if it is, it is a source of concern. Everybody needs to be consistent in applying the procedures based on the best information that we have.
Okay, thank you very much for your contribution. This person says, why are we blaming the police for not coming for people on the blocks? Most people on the blocks don't own any house. Blame the parents for letting them back in the house. But that could work. A lot of these people, they intimidate their parents. And, you know, a parent is going to say, but, you know, but if I don't let you in, what going to happen? You can be out there on the streets and you can catch the virus anyhow. So, you know, And usually it is the mother who is going to say that. Most fathers would take a tougher stance. But, you know, I really think that the mothers and the partners and stuff of these men really need to exert the influence that they can on them. Because I think more than anybody else, the women in this community carry that kind of influence. And they just got to try to use it. Because you're the ones who are being made vulnerable by this behavior.